Good evening, or whenever you're listening to this in the archives, or whenever you're tuning in, if you're tuning in now live at Sunday at 9 p.m. tonight, a Jibber Jabber episode. Actually really looking forward to this one because I've heard mixed reviews about this film. I've really it's one of those ones where I'm like, I just need a chance to watch it. Then I got a chance to see it and I've heard so many mixed reviews, and tonight we get to give it our heave-ho. J-Mac, you looking forward to talking about Late Night with the Devil?
Aye.
Smashing.
Yes, I am. I've been wanting to see it since I first seen it advertised, and I finally got the chance recently, so aye, let's crack in about it.
Yeah, kind of feels like it came out of nowhere, eh? Didn't it?
What do you mean?
Usually when something's coming out that everybody wants to see, they're like, oh, I can't wait till this comes out. That just kind of slipped out, and folks just started talking about it. It feels like that for me, anyway.
I mean, I've seen plenty of trailers for it, plenty of kind of TV spots and that for it before it came out, so I knew it was coming. It looked interesting, to say the least.
Mm. So there's a lot of interesting, cool things about it that I really can't wait to talk about. But before we do, I'm going to go ahead and get us a wee copyright strike by playing the trailer so you're all aware of what we're talking about. All right, here
we
go.
We are back in 5, 4. Now, here's Mr. Midnight, Jack Dalrymple.
Oh, good evening, Night Owls, and thank you for allowing me into your living rooms once again. Night Owls, we've got a heck of a show in store for you tonight, and I'm very excited for you to see it all unfold before your very eyes. I really hope you love it. Gosh, I hope you love it. Please love it. Love it.
I'm trying to host a nationally syndicated talk show.
And I'm trying to help you keep it on the air.
We all know how important it is to keep our sponsors and affiliates happy, but in my humble opinion, there is only one person who really matters in this whole darn crazy business. And that is you, our viewer.
You're meddling with things you don't understand.
Whoa! Now, as you know, here on Night Owls, we think it's very important to keep an open mind. Please welcome Dr. June Ross Mitchell and Lily, the young subject of the book, Conversations with the Devil.
I really don't think it's a good idea, Jack. She's becoming more unpredictable.
That's a good thing. That's why we still do live TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned for a live television first, as we attempt to commune with the devil.
Lily, can you hear me?
Good to see you again, Jack.
Lily, return to me.
This isn't about ratings anymore.
No one's going anywhere.
How could you let it happen, Jack? How could you let it happen?
Please be warned, anyone with young children in the room, you're about to see...
You okay, Jack?
It's profoundly disturbing and shocking.
You get out there, Mr. Midnight, and you knock him dead.
And I look forward to wrestling with them tomorrow when they hit us with a strike. How good was that trailer? That trailer really sets you up for watching it, right?
Up until the last 10 seconds.
Why?
And then it just starts giving away stuff from the very end. That annoys me. That annoyed me a wee bit, actually. Yeah, that was it was a good trailer up until then.
But no, any road.
Janice says, hey, guys. Hey, Janice. How's it going? Lovely to have you in here, as always, Janice. I hope you've seen this, because we want to talk about it. We're going to get right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand. And Matthewman says, evening, gents. Loved this movie. The thing looked and sounded amazing. Very ghost-watchy. Matthewman is a lover of ghost-watch.
Oh, where did Kevin go? Hello? Anyway, yeah. Matthewman is a huge lover of Ghostwatch, and I could see what he means when he compares the two. the look of this film is amazing. The they got the 70s aesthetic of it down to a T. The set design was phenomenal. There wasn't even one member of the audience that you could look at and go, that's not a 70s haircut. The hair and makeup and costume department did a fucking amazing job on this. I don't want to talk too much about it without Kevin. Where is he? Where is he? Or is it him that's live? And it's definitely me that's live. Okay. I don't know, this happens every now and again. Every now and again, we just get thrown a curveball of a technical issue that has to get dealt with. But what will happen is Kev will come out. Sorry. He's not going to come out. Well, you know, never know. He might. Might be living a lie. But yeah, we'll come back in a second and we'll continue the conversation. How have all you guys been anyway? It's been so long since we've spoken to you. it's probably a matter of hours, really. Yeah. Has anybody seen this movie yet? Late Night with the Devil. Interesting concept. Very interesting. The good thing is, I'm not even going to see any comments because Kevin controls all of that. So if you're all saying something, I'm just sitting here like... man. Isn't this fun? Anybody that's never seen this before that tunes in at this moment will be like, who the fuck is this guy and what's he doing? But yeah, I'm just going to hang around and wait. See if Kevin comes back. Be a shame if he doesn't, because then it's pretty embarrassing. Oh no, I've got a message off him. PC just died. Coming back. Fucking usual. Oh man. And technology's wonderful when it works properly. When it doesn't, you might as well end everything. We rely too much on it, don't we? Things you kind of do a podcast with fucking letters, can you? I need the technology to work properly. Ah, diggity doo. Da da da. Da da. I'm trying to think if I've even got anything interesting to say. I don't. Oh, here he comes. Oh, no, there he goes. Fuck.
What's going on, you guys? What's going on?
He will be back eventually. Guess who's back? Back again.
Name day. I'm still here myself. Still here, my fucking pal.
Anyway. What do you think of my wee He-Man at the back there? How cool is that? Love that wee He-Man. And I've got a lava lamp because I'm a man child. We bought that for my 10-year-old son and he didn't want it. And I got it. Oh.
I don't know what happened and it might happen again. I need a new PC, but I'm working here with coal and checking it on the fire. Is what it is. Another couple of months, I'll get a new one. Unbelievable. I could see you there. I'll never come out. J-Mac, it's no my bag. You're closer to coming out than I ever will be. We both know this. Then let me tell them all why. Again. I was actually saying there about Matthewman and how he loved Ghostwatch before my PC just went off. It's always the paranormal stuff that we do when it comes off as well. Yeah, I was good to get
strange
to that.
Strange that, aye. Interesting. So,
aye, I guess so. Aye.
Talking about the stuff they don't want us to talk about.
Aye, for real. So, aye, a couple of messages here. Look, Janice says, haha, lost Kev. There's Megan. I'm just coming. PC died. Been getting good news from the doctor. Oh, good on you, Janice.
Oh?
Good news and the doctor. They two should always be together. So, fingers crossed.
Let's hear what's your good news.
Aye, Janice, tell us. Also, I hope my PC doctor gives me some good news. I'm joking. This PC is going in the bin the minute I get a new one. I have to go for a meaty one next because there's too much going on this. Far too much.
The thing is, man, you set one up on a nice wee monthly payment, you can get a decent computer.
I need to go for a really meaty one because the amount I do on this is just can't be hacked by anything less. But anyway. Let's start. So they obviously it opens up and it's talking, it's setting the stage for story, the allure of temptation. This guy has essentially been like your Conan O'Brien. Yeah. Jack Delroy has been like your Conan O'Brien for so many years and is like all has-beens. This is the career heads on a downward spiral. And this film, by the way, usually, you know me, I'm the dog with the heat at the window. Just enjoy it for what it is. Anything that's too much, I'm like, oh, fucking, it's a film. Come on. You know, it's like, yes, but the way he took the axe and battered the wee woman's head, did it not just reek of absolute? And I'm just like, shut up. Somebody just got killed and that's it. Do you know what I mean? So I didn't look for all the hidden meanings. I didn't look for all. But this was so easy to decipher. Mm-hmm. On everything, it had so many, even to the point where the guy in the skeleton sitting in the audience kind of felt like it was the devil in presence, right? Everything there just kind of, it was so easy to put together that I didn't have to try hard, right? But yet they didn't make it so obvious. Do you know what I mean?
It's like giving us as the audience a bit of credit to try and spot what's going on. And I like that. Like, I hate getting spoon fed. There was no, because of the style of this film, it was set up like a live broadcast with essentially what happens during the commercial breaks, kind of shown as it would have happened in real time, along with the commercial breaks, and they filmed those bits in black and white, which was nice. I liked it. I liked it a lot. And there was no need for any expositional scenes, like people sitting down explaining things. Oh, this demon showed his cell up before. It was back in the wartime, and then we managed to get rid of him by doing this, but he said, I'll be back, and then he came back, so he's back now. There was none of that shite. It was just sit down and here's what's happening now.
I loved it.
The where's and the why's and the who's and the what's doesn't actually really matter too much.
But there's a lot there for you to play with. It's like, where's Wally? It's a movie version of Where's Wally, but Wally's very visible. There's a couple of Wallys.
Where's Wally? There.
Pretty much. And not good, though. I was invested as hell. I'm going to bring up Janice's comment. Janice says, still cancer-free for starters. Janice, show it where it goes, man. Roadhouse. That's what you did to that shit. And good on you, Janice. As always, we are always here to lighten the load. If ever, I mean, we can't cure none, like, but we can cure it with laughter. Well, we can try.
I was going to say that you're making big claims there, by the way. It's like, you go to the doctor with some kind of terminal illness and he's like, I'm going to give you a 4-month subscription to Jibber Jabber Podcast. You should be absolutely fine. Take one of these a week, 9 o'clock on a Sunday.
Class, man. It's like, sorry to tell you, but you're dying. Right?
Don't worry.
Here's your Jibber Jabber subscription. Sorted.
Jesus. You and sound effects are a bad idea.
It's all relative to the contrast of the... See, this is what I don't like, that type of shit. But this film was not filled with all that crap, and I actually really loved it. It was a film that has got a lot to it. Ginny says, haha, classy, love it, thanks for the laugh. See? Another one here for the Jibber Jabber Podcast.
We have saved somebody's soul.
Oh, Lord.
Praise the Lord!
So, this film, by the way, set in 1977, right? Do you know why they set it in the 70s? Well, in 77 specifically.
Was it to do with the fact The Exorcist came out not long before that, and there was a huge kind of revival almost of interest in the occult and the paranormal? Because I know that like in the 70s there was a lot of shows that kind of delved into this stuff. Is delved a word? Delved a word?
We deep delved. No, it wasn't for that reason, J-Mac. It wasn't.
Right.
The reason being...
Look, tell me then. Stop dancing about it, you prick.
The reason being was because they wanted to set it on a Monday because like way back then, these shows would try and get their biggest rating on a Monday, and 77 in 1977 was the only year that Halloween fell on a Monday.
As simple as that.
They went, let's go for it. Let's go proper 70s. And that's literally the decision.
That was the start of Sweeps Week.
That's it. Yeah. That's it, Sweeps Week. So that's the Cairns brothers decided that's what's going to make it. That's the thing. So when I first put it on, and I put it on with the wife, by the way, right? And I says, hey, everybody's raving about this. I says, J-Max heard good things. Matthewman's heard good things. Todd fucking hates it, right? And she's like, oh. Because usually if I say Todd loved it, every time I say something, like every time the words leave my mouth, Todd said it's class. She goes,
remember that thing he told us to watch and the guy got turned into a fucking walrus and the wee guy throws a fish at him? Aye. Like you can trust Todd, right?
For everybody doesn't know, that's Kevin Smith's Tusk, right? I loved Tusk. But that's why. And but Todd says it was good. That doesn't really hold weight with the wife. Turned it on. She was like, this is boring as shit. I don't get it. Why is it all weird like this? Like I say, see if it's no cinematic and like shot in 2024. Right? She's like, oh, nah, screw this. See if it's handycam. See if it's found footage. Nah, she's out. So I find that she'll just not open up the possibility of enjoying it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
That's one thing I liked about this is it is almost like a found footage film, but a found footage film with some production value because it's a TV show. And that was a cool way of doing it. And like I said, I love the aesthetic, everything. I said when you were away that the costume and set designers on this thing should get an Oscar, man, because there was not one person like... I looked at the audience so many times and I was looking at all the different people and I was like, not one person there looks like they shouldn't be there in the 70s. Mm-hmm. The hairstyles were perfect. The costumes were perfect. I mean, I remember the 70s, so.
Do you know? Do you know?
But, man, the everything, even like the sliding door that people come out of onto the show and that wee rainbow design that they've got going about it. In fact, there we go. I mean, how 70s does that look? That's perfect. Mm-hmm. Absolutely perfect. And the clothes
just waiting on
are
Michael
shit.
Jackson and the Jackson 5.
Their clothes are so crap and brown and bleak and crap, like just horrible, except for Mr. Dickhead in the background. Like
he reminds me of you.
Oh, thanks very much, mate. I've never once worn a suede jacket and an orange shirt.
No, but he's just skeptical about everyone. He's just fucking...
I think he might have been slightly based on James Randi.
Was 1,000,000%
right. I actually haven't done any trivia research for this one tonight, and I meant to, and I feel a bit bad for it. But when I was watching, I was like, he's James Randi, but a big, like, more of a dick. Because James Randi was never horrible to people, he just called them out on their bullshit. But that guy was a smarmy prick.
That's fair play. Got a couple comments. Ginny says, why do you think I tune in every week, even when I haven't seen the movie you're discussing? I love you guys. Ginny, that is so felt and reciprocated. I know, that's mental that you don't actually, like half the time you don't even know what we're talking about, like film-wise, you just tune in. That's fucking, what a legend, man, what a legend. Yeah. I'm going to start sending you the films, Ginny, okay? Because we get screeners. I'm going to start sending them to you so that you can watch them ahead of time. That's the least we can do. Matthewman says, Repossessed kind of did the live TV devil thing first with Ernest and Fanny. Man, I miss Leslie Nielsen. And don't call me Shirley. He was phenomenal. Love Leslie Nielsen.
I had a bit of a Mandela effect with Repossessed. I've never actually seen Repossessed, but I remember seeing a trailer for it when I was a kid. And in my mind, it was Michael J. Fox that was in it with Leslie Nielsen. And it's not.
I thought Billy Crystal was the guy that was in Mr. Bean, the first movie, like the OG one we whistled.
That was Peter McNichol.
Right, but why did I think that was Billy Crystal when I was a kid? Kind of similar.
Yeah, curly hair, a bit annoying.
Hi, that would be awesome. Janice, check your inbox this week. I'll definitely send that. So What was your impression of the 1970s style aesthetic? You really big it up, like you say, it should have.
100%, man. It looked awesome. Like, there's the holdovers with Paul Giamatti has kind of been hailed as a film that's been done recently that feels like it was made in the 70s, and I think this one actually beats it for that. Every detail was perfect. I mean, I wasn't around in the 70s, but I do feel like I've seen films from that era, or era, whatever you want. Is that an era or an era? Gonna stop doing that, yeah, prick. it was perfect. I can't pick a hole in anything to do with how the movie looked. It was perfect.
It did. The attention to detail, there's a craft there. There's a craft. The Cairns brothers, I thought they had done something quite notable previously. I think this is probably their first standout film. Aye, probably.
What else have they done?
No much that we are very much aware of. So I think it is very much their standout. Matthewman says, man, I keep telling you to watch Dark Place. It's made like an 80s TV show beautifully. I definitely will. It's on the Matthewman list, I swear. By the way, right, so one thing I do love is a heavily, heavily featured theme here of the occult, right? And if you're someone that knows all about Bohemian Grove and all that, by the way, yeah, this is everywhere.
Yeah, we were talking to Christopher Macklin about it just the other week, and it was all
literally,
in here.
Literally, right? And they're forever saying that Hollywood are really good at putting it right in front of your face.
It's right? Hiding in plain sight thing, eh?
Right, and all this. And if you look at all of them, at the Super Bowl is always a big one. They're always getting all this and all the signs that they're part of the occult, and you've got to give something up to to get in, right? So look at his wee missus who got done in a... Look at her, right? That was his sacrifice.
That reminds me of Cocoon. Did you ever see Cocoon?
No.
I'll show you later.
You can show me your Cocoon later, Gene, like when we're off air, right? So she done in, and it's kind of made like that was a sacrifice, and he always loved her, right? Talking about the Grove and how he's no been there and how long, because they don't invite him anymore because he's no successful. Your key to being successful is, what are you willing to give up? How far are you willing to go for success? Like, what are you willing to lose? What are you willing to jeopardize about your character, about your soul? I think like that's prevalent in this film heavily. Ginny says, I loved Cocoon.
You never seen Cocoon, Kevin?
Not that I can recall.
No, it was pretty awesome. It was about these old people that I mean, I've not seen it for years. I think they were living in like an old folks home, and they come into contact with a spaceship or an alien, and they all start kind of not reversing age, but like they always looked old, but they were getting abilities back that they had when they were younger.
Oh, I'm going to watch that.
And it was pretty awesome, man.
I'm going to check it out.
I mean, it was quite sad at bits as well, but a good 80s sci-fi, definitely.
I'll definitely need to check it out. As the occult theme, how did that sit with you? Did it educate you a wee bit more? Like, if it was real, it probably would look like that?
No, I don't think I learned anything from it based on the stuff that we've heard already from previous guests, and obviously the stuff that you've looked into. I don't look into it as much because it sounds to me so far-fetched that it's ridiculous, but...
Till you start seeing the signs,
in plain sight and all that.
Till you start seeing the signs, my man. They're all there.
Yeah, it's cool. It was cool to bring that element in there. It wasn't a straight down the line possession movie. There was more at play. But even as a possession movie, I think this has been the best one since The Exorcist, which is pretty impressive.
That's quite a bold statement to make there, G-Mac.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a better one. Oh man, Emily Rose might have been better. I just thought of it. I just thought of it. And here's the funny thing. It's fucking sitting right there. It's sitting right there.
I think mine is over there somewhere. It's not far away at all. So as we're gonna know this is, it takes a wee while to get into it, right? Because it does set up the story in a way that kept me gripped, right? But I did look at my wife and I did listen to what Todd had to say, right? And I understand that, like, so I texted my dad earlier and I says, you need to check out this film. I really enjoyed it. Stay with it because it gets really good. Yeah. Like, sometimes people don't allow there to be a setup. And I'm all right with that because when I see a good setup, that's the difference. See if it's like, fuck, are you still setting this shit up? Like, nothing's happening. Do you know what I mean? No. If that's how you feel about something, then it can turn you off. But if a setup's done correct, I'm happy watching like three quarters of the film as a setup, as long as it's done in a way that grips me and keeps me watching. And that I don't, you know what I mean? That I'm not thinking, Ken, for a long time, nothing happens in this. Nothing out of the ordinary. It's just discussion. It could very well be an episode of the Piers Morgan show where it's just two people, but what about this and what about that and what about this, which is very engaging. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, whoa, where'd that shit come from, mate? Oh, fuck me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Starts getting proper fucked up at points, right?
Can I just address a small elephant in the room? Am I right in saying that lassie's meant to be about 10?
I think so.
She's clearly about 46.
You reckon?
Well, no, I'm pretty sure she's about 18, but she doesn't look. She doesn't look 10.
Do you know who she looks like there?
My wife coming out the shower.
No, what's that wee lassie? She's quite a straight-faced woman. She was in. I think she was in Year One. What's her name again? She's in one of the chicky flicks, but she always is quite straight-faced. Do you know who I'm talking about? It'll come back to me. Look at her and tell me you don't see... What's the lassie's name? I can't even think of the film that she's been in. Gutting. I'll get there. I'll get there. So Todd texts me, all right? And he was like, here, I'm going to watch this thing that everybody's going on. Here is literally the screenshots of the messages. Watching this late night with the devil. Heard very good rumblings. We'll let you know what I think, but the premise is excellent. Ah, sake. Half an hour in. Great stuff. Then comes the CGI. Suspense fucking shattered. Fuck CGI, man. Especially in lower budget films. Then he goes on to say, my final review. Giza's a wee gif for a guy gone, fuck's sake. A movie with a shitload of potential. Absolutely wasted by some of the shittiest CGI I've ever seen. You might enjoy it. Let us know.
It's like, well, yes, I fucking did.
I really did.
There is some stuff that happens towards the end where the CGI is pretty shonky, right? But to me, it can add to the charm because, again, it made it feel more like it was made in the 70s. And I actually really enjoyed that. The one CGI effect I wasn't too keen on was probably the one that he was talking about. And I'm imagining it's when the guy puked.
That was
pretty shonkalonk.
But still, Lee is in the house. Lee, how's it going? Any more messages for Juma?
Aye, who's dying this fucking week now?
Is she all right? Is she still all right?
Aye.
Class. Matthewman says Cocoon was my wee granny.
I've got her tied up here, the new man. She's fine.
Cocoon was my wee granny's favourite movie. Mega nostalgia for me. Still, soundtrack is amazing. Oh, class, man. Lassie was proper creepy, even more so in non-demon form. I don't know.
She just had this kind of. She was quite like strangely happy.
That's because I think. Well, for me, I felt like she wasn't fully herself. I always felt that she was a lodger.
Yeah.
And see, do you know what was quite terrifying? Was it's like he turns to what's his face, Jack, and he's like, Jack, it's me, and you're like, well, who is this? You assume it's his wife, but it's not. Right?
Jack, back off, you spooky bitch.
Pretty much. Right? But the thing is, it's talking about being out in the woods, right? And obviously, Jack's done something in the woods at that Bohemian Grove and proper fucked somebody up. Yeah?
Mm.
And the fact that there's something there we don't know about, that's quite seriously terrifying, and there's somebody coming through from somewhere else to say, you're a bad bastard.
Oh no, don't happen again, man. Fuck. See, the thing is, right, I would love to just continue on and use my notes to keep the show moving while Kevin tries to sort his PC out. But we've come up with this new thing recently where me and Kev had a discussion and he was like, J-Mac, what you're really good at is adding salt and pepper to what I'm saying, making things funny and blah, 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 blah. So he basically said, I'll do all the note taking and all that stuff. He said, you just react to what I say. That's what you're best at. So I'm like, cool. So when he's no here, I don't really have anything else to add. And it kind of makes it a little bit awkward. But anyway, I've started doing man stuff in my house recently. I've been one of these guys that kind of brought up my dad did everything and that, like, I didn't pay enough attention to what he was doing in the house, fixing things. And but then my job's changed and I've kind of had to learn how to do certain things. So I've been doing like a bit of electrical work in the house. I put up a curtain rail the other day. Now that sounds simple, right? Sounds really simple. But I had to put up a strap first and I was like, right, I want to have 4 screws in this thing, but the plasterboard's shit, so I'm going to need to put this strap up. So I need 4 screws.
Hello! Hello!
How am I? Ah, oh, right. Oh, he stopped using the PC. Okay.
Well, they're now, because it's dead. Look. It's just like, oh, nothing's going on here. So I don't want
to... Anyway, I'm going to finish my wee story anyway. So I was putting up putting up this strap to put the curtain rail up. I was like, right, I'll need to get the measuring tape out and I'm going to measure along how far each hole is for the end. And then I'll do the same on the wall so that I know I'm getting them lined up to the right place. And I was like, that seems a bit faffy. Seems a wee bit faffy. So what I did was I just put screws everywhere I wanted them, put it up where I was going to put it, and just fucking hammered it against the wall so that it left me a nice wee mark everywhere I had to put a roll plug, and then boom, on it went. I was just saying how good I'm getting at doing man stuff in the house, which I've never done before. I'm starting to take risks. I'm starting to try things. I'm starting to come out my shell a wee bit and I don't feel scared. I fucking fitted a light in my living room the other day, cutting back cables and rewiring stuff. And I'm starting to feel like a proper man. One day I will own a vest like yours.
Smashing.
For fuck's sake.
Tune in next week for J-Max DIY tips. What was it? Smashing a nail into a wall or something like that.
Aye, sounds really technical, doesn't it?
Yeah, one of those had to be there kind of things. Watch Diary Olympic. I will be back in the studio momentarily. Again, this is going to keep happening because it picks its nights, it picks and chooses. What was I in the middle of saying when I got fucking cut off raging?
I don't know, because it freaked me out when you got cut off. I forgot what you were talking about.
I was saying that she was a bit of a lodger in her own body, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was quite terrifying, the fact that she was like that. But I know my notes are away and everything, man, because it's all deed. It's fine, though. It's fine. The CGI is sick. I don't think that was that bad. I don't think it was bad at all. Because, like you say, it had a charm. A 70s charm.
No. The stuff towards the end did. The stuff towards the end had the 70s charm. But the sick, that had early 2000s charm. I wasn't too impressed with that. But the rest of the film was so good, like, that I could forgive it.
It was a bit mental, the sick. And it kind of came out of nowhere. I love how quickly they're just like, yeah, he's dead. We'll just carry on, lads. We'll carry on. Didn't tell anybody.
Ah, but it goes to show you how far people will go for ratings. I mean, that's what the whole film is about, really, is how...
It's a selling of thy soul.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Quite scary when you think about it. It's a shame, I know. What would you sell your soul for, J-Mac?
For Chinese places to be open on a fucking Tuesday. Because I'm always in the mood. For some reason, I always want a Chinese on a Tuesday and they're all shut because they like to go gambling.
Is that right?
Aye. Well, I think so. I might be making presumptions there. But, yeah.
They used to be the way in to...
There's a reason that a lot of Chinese takeaways don't take card payments, and it's because they want cash. Okay. They want cash, they'll just go and gamble it. There's no paper trail for gambling. Allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly, aye. There is often a fable told that you have to sell your soul in order to make it to the big time.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wondered, what type of sell my soul? Like, I'm not giving you any family members, but if it's just a body you want, I'm sure I can find somebody. Do you know what I mean? I'll give you someday.
So there's a guy that cut me up. He cut me up in traffic the other day. I've got his registration. I'll find him.
All right. If you want him to go, he gone.
Oh, yeah. I got a big echo there. And he's back. Guess who's back?
Bye again. Sorry. Right. Don't know how long this is going to last. I bet you'll cut off right away and I'll be like, hear me all right, aye?
Yeah.
You know, right, class. I am Brady Bunch creepy. Hey, Janice says, good for you, J-Mac. Proud of you.
Thank you.
So I was saying, where would you sell your soul? And I'm thinking, well, I'm pretty solid on the fact that in order to get in, you have to do stuff you don't want to do. Now, if I could just see it in writing, wet gets you wet, right? So if I'm ratting on a couple folk, as long as they're no of anybody, I think there has to be stakes in it. I'm no fiddling with anybody. That goes for anybody of any size, shape, form, or whatever. No fiddling with them at all. No into that at all. Physically couldn't.
Well,
right?
Playing the violin with them, like.
No,
so I'm not fiddling with anybody, by the way. I only play guitar.
I'm not walking into a room where there's somebody defenseless and I've got to do something horrible to them. No doing that. Imagine I walk in there, it's Kevin's inauguration, and I walk in to the occult and I'm like, oh, there's a wee single mum sitting there all strapped up, imagine it cut in half a chainsaw. And that's the day the occult ends, because I'm like, all right. Oh, yeah, Kevin's. And I just go mad on the occult.
Get my gaff, you owl-headed prick.
Get my Rocky robot. I'd give up.
Get my Rocky robot.
Italian stallion on their back.
Fucking hell.
Class. Janice says, my soul is not on the bargaining table. I feel you, Janice. I feel like I'd give up some. Just at what cost? Right? The price has to be very low. So I suppose you get what you get. Eh? Sad. I wouldn't be very... That's why all I got was a podcast. I had to go through quite a few to get to it. So were there any specific scenes or moment for you that stood out that are particularly memorable, so that when, if you were mentioning this to your pals, here, you need to check this out without spoiling it, what scenes would you say, you know, this is where it was for me?
The worms.
Oh, mate, that was well done to the guy. Like, I'd love to experience that. No one's ever been able to actually hypnotize me, and I've been in those positions where you sit on the table and they're like, do this, and then I see other people going under, and the one guy when I was on holiday, right, one guy started trying to breast.
Oh man, that was just getting interesting and he cut off, for fuck's sake. Right, Kev, just use your phone, please. Just use your phone, we'll do the rest of the show that way, because that was this is getting fucking annoying, man. Oh, man. You got to love a Sunday night jibber jabber when nothing's working. I used to be the one whose stuff would always break down. I was using, for the first about 6 months we were doing this show, I was using a broken laptop. So.
Sorry, lads. This, mate, what the hell? Yeah, no, to fix this. I'm going to just have to date like this for the rest of the night. I don't know what the hell's going on?
This is about surreal. This is like fucking Double Impact or something I'm watching.
What, is there two of me? Can't
even. Yeah. Oh, you're gone. You're gone.
Sitting there, eh?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You can hear me all right. See me all right, aye?
Yep.
Yeah,
I think there's a little bit of a delay. There's a little bit of a delay on this that you don't have with the PC. So I'll just give me a bit more time to respond, and I'll give you a bit more time to respond, and we'll be all right.
No problem. What was I saying before I got cut off rudely again?
You went like this, a guy breast, and then it cut off.
That's it. That's it. So he was breastfeeding. A guy on stage was breastfeeding, right? And I'm like, surely these guys are paid. It looks so fucking ridiculous. Mm. But apparently they were proper under the influence of whatever it was that was hypnotizing them. I've never been hypnotized, and I've been in the position several times, but they can't get me under. Look into the eyes, not around the eyes. In the eyes, not around the eyes. Steed says, is that the Shining font on your name slides? Well spotted, mate. It absolutely is. Even J-Mac didn't spot that. Did you, J-Mac?
No, I didn't. Well done.
A million percent.
Wait, is that Beans?
That is Beans, aye.
Aye. Beans. No. I was like, I know that name. I know that name.
Janice says, sorry, I need to look right in it here because I'm using the phone. I wonder if the devil has a soul. And if so, is he willing to bargain with it? Here, I think the devil's a puppet master, mate. Ain't nobody getting his. I don't think anybody. Or maybe we're all the devil. I don't know. Maybe we'll make a movie about it one day. But I think this was excellent. I actually really, really enjoyed it. Did you?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've kind of made that clear at this point. This film is one of the rare modern horror films. I mean, we call it a horror. It's not a straight down the line horror. It's got horror elements to it, but there's also some there's some really darkly funny bits as well. I bet you pissed yourself when everything kicked off towards the end and that guy with the cash died. I bet you pissed yourself laughing, because I saw it and I was like, that definitely made Kev laugh.
See the part where he's just like. The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you.
Not Disney.
What's that behind you? What is he? He just falls through the table.
Yeah.
I actually loved the drama at the end. Oh, so good.
It was bonkers. I mean, the last kind of 15 minutes are fucking bonkers. But it's fun bonkers. It's really fun bonkers.
Do you think it really happened?
No.
You don't? You think it's on his napper?
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant, like, is this based on a true story?
Oh, come on, man. Come on.
That's why I was like, no.
A silly question. Like, I would ask that.
You think this really happened, eh? What a knob. No, I think it really happened. And then he was taken through some kind of journey through his past to remind him of how he got there. But yeah, I think it did actually happen. And this is one that I would put in my, that's probably, this might be in my top 10 horror movies, by the way. And that's no easy. It's no easy to get on that list. That's a list that we should do at some point. We've never done a top 10 horror. We've done top 10 Christmas, top 5, sorry.
That would be tough.
Nah.
Wouldn't it?
The thing is,
the Christmas one was excellent.
Aye, most horror films are objectively really shit, but you enjoy them because they're fun. This one actually had a bit of substance behind it, and I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that. And David Dastmalchian, I mean, this is, as far as I've seen, this is his...
David Das, is that how you say it? I'm glad you said it, mate, because I was like, David Dalek.
Aye, David's on a fucking Italian man.
It's on Italian man.
His performance was phenomenal, and I was glad to see him kind of getting a leading man role. He's had supporting roles. He's probably done some leading man stuff in the past, but nothing that I've seen. But he's always like a weird side character, and in this one, he was like. Mm-hmm. Almost the normal one the bunch, and he's really good at playing weird to the point where I thought he was just a weirdo, but he's actually just fucking awesome at acting.
Let me tell you why they cast him.
Why?
So the Cairns brothers actually had been aware of his acting and liked his acting, right? But they actually read an fucking issue of Fangoria and was like, he had wrote a column about paranormal hosts on TV. He wrote a full column and was like, we need this guy that we want in our movie as a host. Let's get this guy. And that's where they went. Steed says, Val says, get your guns out more. Mate, I don't have guns. What I have is a wand. That's one thing I don't have any toy guns. Just a couple of guitars, tons of cool shit, and a wand. I've got an actual set of wands. I'm not going to get my wands out, but all I'm saying is I've got a collection.
I just realised, actually, I can't believe I've done this here, but when he's like, Kev, you need to get your guns out more, I subconsciously folded my arms and tried to push my biceps out. Fucking self-absorbed prick. You know, it's funny, when I shaved my head the other day and I walked into work, and one of the guys at work said to me, like, once we got over the initial conversation of, haircut, which still happens as a 40-year-old man. You know, it's ridiculous. It's like you go back to fucking second year at high school. But he was like, I normally see you as a really kind of sound, approachable guy, but if you look like, you look fucking just unapproachable. That's what he said to me. You look unapproachable. I was like, thanks, man. That's really nice of you. I mean, how do you take that? Is that a compliment?
I got one time someone said, I was working with a woman and her daughter came in and she was like, oh, hi, this is Kevin. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And she says to her mum that I was a fat James McAvoy.
Fat James McAvoy?
I was like, wait a minute, a fat in him? I was like, I mean, I'm no ripped by any stretch, but I'm not fat, fuck's sake.
No, you've got a wee belly that looks like a cartoon knee. it just sticks out a wee bit like a comic book character, like a skinny comic book character. Their knees go like that, bloop, and you've got one of the wee bellies. Or you did have last time I seen you. I know you've been going to the gym a lot, so it's maybe a way. Listen, I'm
there you go, there's my belly. I can't even see if you can see it.
No, but I've seen your pubes. Thanks for that.
Yeah, that's not even my pubes, mate. That's just on my belly.
No, that's the that, like, you know how you've got London, then Greater London. That's Greater Pube.
No, I'm just a naturally hairy dude. Well, anyway,
goes from my chest pubes down to my ball throw.
We should try and get sponsored by Manscaped.
No, because everybody's sponsored by Manscaped. It's a cop-out.
We're shit at sponsors anyway.
Aye. I know. So we get to the end of an episode and go, oh, by the way, Manscaped, quite dear, but try it.
We're terrible at flogging stuff. Terrible. Matthewman says, Kate Bush on the show tonight. I don't know what you're seeing a bush. Fuck me, that was my belly. I need bush there. Janice says, ha 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 ha. This, by the way, I'm going to get this on Blu-ray. And ideally in a steel case. Because when I really like stuff, I tend to get them physical.
Yeah. It's a definite... I think it's one... Like, if horror movies themselves, if horror movies had its own Criterion collection, I think this one should be in it. I do think it was that good. there's, but again, it's one of those ones where I've said this a million times about a million movies on this program, fucking show, that if somebody does, if somebody hated it, I wouldn't argue with them because I would understand why.
Yeah.
But for me, it's because it's not a traditional horror film. It's not. This is something different. And I actually thought, like, I was telling people when I said I was going to see it, I said, oh, it's an A24 film. It's fuck all the day with A24. I think it just looked like one, so I assumed it was one. And it's not.
Shudder.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with A24. And this is top-notch stuff from Shudder. Like, they've not really been known so far for particularly good original content. But this is good. This is definitely one for your watch list if you've got Shudder. And if you don't have Shudder, get it. It's fucking $4.99 a month. If you're a horror fan, $4.99 a month, and you've got a massive bank of absolutely class horror films and absolute trash, and they're both equally fun.
Or check out the Arrow Player. Mate, Shudder didn't send us this film. We're just being sound to Shudder. Shudder didn't even know we exist. But Arrow Day, so go and check out the Arrow Player. And subscribe and all that stuff.
That's a quality plug in again. Fucking plug another company first before the one we're actually working with. Nice one. Hey.
I know. Love me some Shudder. You should have checked it out before.
Nice. Love it.
I know. Would you like to see another film of Late Night with the Devil?
No.
I don't think it'd be cool to see something in the same kind of vein, but I don't think it needs anything more.
I think if they tried to do something in the same vein, they would go, oh, they're just copying Late Night with the Devil. I think this one should stand completely alone and just be left alone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What other films can you say that have stood on its own quite like it? Like, if you were to put a section in your DVD collection, right? If you were to put a section in your DVD collection, where would it go? What would sit with it?
Fuck, that's tough. That's tough.
It is, right?
Maybe
Hereditary.
Well, funnily enough, I was going to say like Midsommar.
Midsommar was mental. There's a part where they're all just screaming like, each other.
Right. But the thing is, it's nothing like Midsommar, but I would group it with
right next to Ghostwatch.
Oh man, he's got a right stoner for Ghostwatch. Oh, by the way, Janice, if you're wondering what a stoner
it
is,
does it.
hang on, I need a burp. Pardon me. Oh, lemonade and lime, lovely jubbly. But yeah, I think it doesn't sit with Halloween and stuff like that. This is a very almost niche sort of film. But I mean, I'll be honest, man, I didn't like Hereditary. I've only seen it once.
Why does that get so much hate? I didn't get it.
Well, I again, maybe I was in the wrong mood when I watched it. Maybe I just couldn't get over the fact that the wee lassie looked so much like Kevin Bridges.
I thought Toni Collette's performance was phenomenal.
I don't think she's ever given a bad performance. Never.
True. Even in Sixth Sense, she was really good.
Yeah. This film, I think in 10 years, this film will be remembered as special. I think it will get a cult following.
Yeah, because it was really good. I really want to get it on like a wee special edition. That's how I know. I watch it and I go, "Will you buy it?"
Well, but
and that's how I know.
Remember the sequence with the worms, right? And then you get the wee spinning wheel for the hypnosis on the screen. I was like, "I'm going to watch this. Like, I'm going to intently watch this and see if I get hypnotized. That'd be cool, right?" And then everything transpired, I was like, I wonder if I rewound this film and watched it again, if it would be the same.
I know.
Like, it made me...
the same thing.
I know, but, I mean, it's so stupid thinking back on it. I was like, why would you think that, Jordan? You just fucking seen what you've seen, but...
Could you imagine if a film did manage to pull that off, though? Could you imagine?
That'd be pretty amazing. It would.
That'd be... Hey, That would set it apart for anything else. Matthewman says, fucking hated Hereditary. Mate, explain. It was fucking excellent. Loved it. It was so different. Steed says, Stoner should be a Scottish horror channel.
Subscribe to Stoner. £3.99 a month. Fuck Shudder.
£6.66. Stoner. Stoner, get your Scottish horror. That would be excellent. And reruns of Midsummer Murders.
Oh, fuck. What a terrible program.
That'd be class.
Man. But I highly, highly, highly recommend this film to anybody that's a fan of horror. Even if you're not a fan of horror, you might find some enjoyment in this. It's an interesting film. In fact,
yeah.
Robbie, Beans, have you seen it? Have you seen it? Let us know if you've actually seen this yet. I mean, you're a filmmaker, so I'm assuming you like watching films as well. So,
Aye, so you have to have seen absolutely fucking everything. Otherwise...
That's not how it works.
Right?
I highly recommend. I mean, IMDb score, I think, is 7.1, which, again, is awesome for a film of this type.
That is actually.
And I would maybe rate it slightly higher. I'm going with, like, a 7.5 out of 10.
I think I gave it, like, a 9.
Wow, that's, do you know, that's good.
Do you think we'll see more of David that's on Italian?
Well, we've seen quite a lot of him already, but I think this
he's a Nolan guy, isn't he?
But this film kind of establishes the fact that he can hold his own as the lead character. And I'm curious as to what comes next for him, because this is a good showcase for his abilities as an actor.
Yeah. It definitely is. Steed says, yeah, loved it, apart from the electricity effects. I thought they were class.
I thought they were terrible, but yeah. Added to the charm.
This is it here. Hey, when it is it showing up for you? Oh, there it is.
Yeah, yeah. It
was excellent.
I can see it, but you've maybe not picked the best example.
I think that reminds me of, like, early Motown. Was it Soul Train? No?
I have no idea. You're the music guy.
It's like when Mick Jackson, he was back in the Jackson 5, and he'd have all, like, Chuck Berry, and that was on it before he was peeing on hookers. And then watch
Johnny be bad.
He was bad. Brilliant acting all around. I agree. Like you said as well, J. Mike, everybody there felt like they were there from the time period. The producer guy was a bit arsey, weren't he?
I don't know why, but whenever I saw him, I was like, oh, there's Brad Dourif for Wish.
Aye. It was definitely, I think. There's not a lot of characters in it either, is there? It's all set around a wee talk show.
Aye.
There's a bit, not to spoil anything, but when a certain woman gets her throat cut, right? That was a bit out of order. Kind of came out of nowhere. Also, she goes from being like a wee lassie, and the guy's like, why did they unstrap her? They unstrapped her.
Well, that segment was over with, and they assumed everything was under control.
And it's like, oh, we're going to start talking to you again. And then her head just opens up like a bloody... That didn't make any sense, that part where her head opened up. And it's like, oh no, there's my wife, so I'm just going to stab her. See, if someone you loved was dying and you wanted to get rid of them, would you stab them?
Well, he didn't want to get rid of her. Like, she asked.
Aye. So she was like, oh, get rid of me. Right. So he stabs her. I don't think that's the way I would do it.
I maybe would have kind of thought more about the repercussions of doing that, but he's protected by this Bohemian Grove lot, so there's not going to be any comeback.
And then, like, he wakes up for whatever dazed and confused state he's in, and it's the wee lassie that's been done in. Why would the demon want his wee vessel to be done in?
Maybe he was done with her.
Mm.
Much like the guys at Bohemian Grove.
Hey, Steed, you're a filmmaker. Have you ever had your invitation into the occult yet? Have you ever had the opportunity to sell your soul?
Right. Man, fucking done it. Wait for my next film. It's going to be number one.
It's like all I had to give him was a chippy and a Zippo lighter. The way to anybody's heart, eh? That'd be excellent. I'm really, really happy with it. I really enjoyed watching Late Night with the Devil. And one of the issues for me is when I actually see when I watch a film, right, that I really enjoy, I get gutted because I'm like, oh, now I can't experience that feeling of watching something class for that the is first one, time now.
That is one thing that I do wish it was a bit longer. It was that kind of 90-minute runtime, which is synonymous with horror. Like, that seems to be, for horror films, that's like the kind of perfect runtime for the attention spans of people that enjoy horror films. But I think this one, it could have been easily 2 hours. Easily. And I would have enjoyed it.
Yeah. I liked it. Sorry, I'm gutted now. Anybody want to recommend me a class film that's along these lines, along the Hereditary, Late Night with the Devil? Right, I know, Matthew, when you're going to hit me with some ghost watch pattern in a minute. I will. I'll get around to it.
I don't think ghost watch is ever going to hit us the same way that it hit Matthew Man, because one, he's got a lot of nostalgia for it. Two, we know that it's fake. They didn't at the time. Like, as far as everybody was concerned, when that was on TV, it was a live documentary about a haunting. So what, it's never going to hit us the same. We're going to be looking at it and going, it's fake. It doesn't matter.
You know, it's no real, right? You're right. I think you had to, it was one of those you had to be there type of things.
Yeah, my brother recommended it to me as well a good number of times, but he couldn't remember what it was called. But this was years and years and years ago. He just remembered that it was Michael Aspel. From This Is Your Life.
That was before my time, mate. I grew up on Michael Barrymore and Catchphrase. £400, that's right!
Catchphrase was class.
Adam West's Batman. It was, man. So that's the shit I grew up on.
Yeah.
Batman. You know, the old Adam West stuff. Oh, Vincent Price played. That's what I grew up on. Loved it. And Gladiators. You will go on my first whistle. All that stuff. those were the days. By the way, we are still to be connected with another couple interviews from the folks at Arrow for the short films that we've been covering. I've really enjoyed them. We've all really enjoyed them and made some good connections there with good people. I've put people in connection with other people that might do something pretty fun and add to the world of film. So that's exciting. See what happens there. But stay tuned, because we will have more interviews coming up with some more filmmakers, and there's more stuff in the pipeline. I've got a couple of conversations going on with a couple of cats. See what's what. I love it when we're like someone from the Lost Boys, right? I'll no name names here because it'll probably be announced soon that they're coming on. Someone from the Lost Boys film, I'm like, here, mate, you're coming on. He's like, oh, aye, love to come on. When you want to do it? I will date around about this time. Okay, where do it? Oh, mate, what's going on? Oh, look, I can still do that. I don't even need my PC for it because what's going on? And I'm like, are you coming on? You coming on? And then they'll come back and go, yeah, sorry, I'll come on. Okay, well, are you free this day? Boom, silence. So waiting on that. That'll be interesting when it happens. Same with a few other people that are really into the world of Hollywood that are really big names. Just a case of like them fucking messaging me back. I don't care who the fuck you are, mate. Don't you fucking patch me. I will knock the fucking shit out of you when I see you. You understand me?
Well, that's nanny name coming on then.
I'm going to play this. I'll play this when they come on. Fucking serious, mate. Don't fucking mug me off. I'm just rousing. But they'll come on. I like it. So, hi, class for the folks at Arrow too. We're really doing really well with the guys at Arrow right now. Really, really enjoying working together and doing some cool shit.
Well, the top boy, their top boy seems to enjoy what we're doing. So if he's enjoying it, then
right,
we're happy.
I know. Yeah, yeah, he's a really good guy, really good guy. So I thank you everybody for tuning in tonight on Sunday. Stay tuned during the week. Is this your week where you can do more podcasts, J-Mac, or no? Stay tuned next week for when we get more Arrow interviews and more filmmakers. Thank you everybody for tuning in as always. If you want a screener, just ping me a wee message for all my wee pals. Again, kind of. Janice, I'll message you. But definitely check out the stuff that we're checking out. Let's talk about it. And if you guys have stuff you want us to check out, Matthew Min, I know, we'll do a flash deep dive really soon. Janice, tell us your favourite film. We're going to deep dive that as well. We'll get some watch-alongs coming soon, some more content coming up. I've been on a really good flow recently, and we'll continue that. But thanks for tuning in tonight, guys. Heavily appreciate it. Hope you all have a wonderful week. J-Mac in it, and you'd like to say. I don't even know if I can hit the outro on this thing. I love
the fact that you stopped yourself from saying heavy appreciate it to say heavily. I really appreciate that.
I make effort. See, like, this is who I am as a friend, as a husband, or whatever. See, if you say genuinely, I don't like that, I will always make efforts to try and change it. Right, so I become the best possible version of me and the best possible version of me for you. But I want the fucking same in return.
No, fuck you. See you next week.
I heavily enjoyed this episode. Thanks, guys. Peace out and take it easy. We shall see you next week or through the week, through the Wendy. If I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the Wendy. Thanks, folks. Have a good one. Goodbye!